Girl.
This is the Freedom Fiends. This is Maestro Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster, and on the other end of the inner tubes, we have Mr. Ben Stone, the Perky Possum. Now, what are you today?
Bearded Possum.
The Bearded Perky Possum. That's you. Yeah. So, people don't like being ruled, apparently, for some reason. Have you noticed that?
They do and they don't. It's a love-hate relationship.
Yeah. If they all hated it, I don't think there'd be rulers, because I think they would all be burned and thrown into dumpsters. And I'm not advocating that. I'm just reporting some things that happened recently around the world. Do you want to comment on that and or tip some of those news stories for us?
Sure. I'd love to, except as soon as I went to that website, the autoplay on there locked my laptop up solid.
Yeah.
What country was that in?
You know, autoplay is a form of being ruled. And Davi Barker and I are very adamant about that. We recently did I'm working on a video on how to podcast. It's everything I know about how to podcast, how to do radio. And I interviewed Davi in it on tips about how to podcast, but actually, like, we're showing our process of doing it while having the interview. So it was sort of dual use. And Davi basically said, you know, if you have autoplay on your website, I will not go there. I will never go back there. Like, basically, video or audio that starts playing. It's really big with mainstream media. Actually, I've seen a really annoying thing lately is a new trend. Because a lot of people, I think, tend to open a lot of windows because they multitask, like you and I. They have a lot of thoughts and a lot of rabbits to chase down holes on the internet. And a new trend is having an audio ad, maybe with video, but with the audio being, you know, delivering the whole ad, the whole content, and having it autoplay about 4 or 5 minutes after you land on a page. So you land on a page, you open up some other pages, you check some facts on some other pages, and then all of a sudden you have like 12 windows open, and then all of a sudden audio starts playing and trying to sell you something, and you're playing whack-a-mole trying to stop it and closing things that you want open. It's very frustrating, and it's kind of sleazy marketing. It's kind of like those people who send you mail now that looks like a dunning letter from a tax collector, so you don't throw it out, you open it up.
In grandpa's mail,
yeah, snail mail. So I'll read this. An angry mob tossed a Ukrainian lawmaker into a dumpster outside the parliament building in Kiev today, taunting him and shouting obscenities. As police looked on, the protesters flipped pro-Russian Vitaly Zaraski into the trash bin. I think that's correct. Zaraski into the trash bin, then held him down and threw a car tire and water onto him before he was finally able to escape. I saw the video of this when it was auto-playing yesterday. They didn't permanently harm him. I think they might have been about to, but about 4 soldiers came up, and the soldiers looked scared. There were like 100 people trying to throw this guy in a dumpster, or throwing this guy in a dumpster and yelling for his dumpability. You know, he was a pro. It's one of those, what it comes down to, it's not just politicians. We don't like politicians. It's the pro-Russian, pro-secession thing of the Ukraine. Like, basically, I'm wondering if this is going to be happening in Scotland, but all over the world, it seems people are upset with being ruled. And there are people who, you know, may want to be ruled in some way, but they want to pick their own rulers. You know, it's kind of a taxation without representation thing. People want to be taxed, but they want to be taxed by their own kind, or at least have some of their own kind in there voting on the taxes. So what else happened this week, Ben?
Well, before we go to that, I want to mention, too, it's probably lucky this guy was in Ukraine and not South Africa, because the tendency for a few years down there, when they threw a tire around you, they then lit it on fire and watched you.
So
Scottish independence, they got to choose whether their masters were in London or in Edinburgh. And if we believe that the voting was, you know, fair, which... Right.
Well, voting's not fair anyway. I mean, I'm kind of appalled. I don't have the exact quotes in front of me, but it was something like 45% in favor of Scotland seceding,
yeah,
and 55% in favor of it remaining under the crown. The crown. That's not fair anyway, even if the vote was legit, you know, if it was counted correctly, which it's looking like maybe it wasn't. That's not fair. You know, democracy is, what is it they say, three wolves and a sheep decide voting on what to have for lunch.
Yeah, exactly. But there is a growing amount of evidence that, in fact, the whole vote was rigged. And I would be shocked more if I found out that it was honest, that they actually, you know, that the vote actually was counted correctly and that there was no voter fraud. That would be, to me, that would be the headline story. The idea that the voting was rigged and that they didn't really count them right, or, you know, dead people voted and all those kind of things. I would say, well, isn't that how it works? Isn't that how elections always work?
I don't know, but one of the guys throwing this politician in the dumpster kind of looks like you, Ben. there's a lot. That's a look that's still popular in Russia, of like long hair, gray, you know, not gray, but this guy's gray beard, you don't, but long hair and beard, kind of like a Rasputin look.
Yeah.
And I think it's among people who are members of the really conservative church that's kind of thriving in Russia after being suppressed by the communists for so many years. You know, and the government's backing them and letting them do things like throw protesters who've done minor protests in prison for a really long time. That's their way of getting them back on the government side after the government. I'd say basically the same government, but they're presenting themselves as a different government. Putin's as bad as the czars, man, and he's as bad as the Politburo, I'd say.
I was looking up voter fraud on Wikipedia, I think last night, and one of the first examples of voter fraud was like 1790-something, 1783, something like that, in New York City. Or no, I'm not sorry, not New York City, New York State. It was the voting for the governor of New York State. And it was like one of the first official governors after the U.S. gained its independence. And that was one of the first examples of voter fraud right there in New York.
I would tend to argue with you, Ben, that was not the first example of voter fraud. There was definitely voter fraud in choosing the popes in the Middle Ages.
Oh yeah.
I would
say probably back in
the Roman Greece. Senate probably had.
I'm sure. How could there not be voter fraud?
And even if there wasn't voter fraud, I think that democracy being proven immoral was the beginning of democracy. I mean, let's see, who was it who they voted to kill in the Roman Senate?
Oh, Socrates.
Socrates.
Oh, no, Plato. In the Roman.
Plato? No.
Yeah, that was in Greece. Yeah.
Okay, we're getting our facts mixed up here, but they did vote to murder one of the senators in Greece or Rome. My crack research team are all passed out in a pile in the corner. So I'm going to asterisk that for fact checking by them or audience members. Unlike Neil deGrasse Tyson, who we're going to talk about later, who apparently he is kind of proof of like, really, you went to Wikipedia and you're considering that accurate? Some things have come out. Some people who are poster boys for science aren't behaving very scientifically, which does not undermine science. And he's a guy who it's kind of more about his fans, I think. But so back to the topic. Something else happened with manure and politicians this week.
Ah, oh, yes. They go hand in hand, don't they? No, manure and old vegetables and a bunch of farmers in a French town that I can't even pronounce in France brought a bunch of their vegetables that they couldn't sell because of this trying to boycott Russia, because the French government is trying to boycott Russia. So they can't sell their vegetables. So a bunch of the farmers brought vegetables and truckloads of manure into a town, blocked the roads with piles of vegetables and manure so that the fire trucks couldn't get in, and then they lit the tax building on fire.
Wow.
And then they parked their tractors and trucks and so forth in a way that it kept the fire department from getting in there to put out the fire in time.
Now, what was the issue with the taxes? Was it that there were taxes at all, that they were foreign collected, or that they were just too much?
I think it was just that the building represented the French government, because they also burned the government insurance office that was in that town. So I think it was just a strike at the government, and the tax office and the government insurance office were the two, you know, the two aspects of government that the farmers worked with on a one-to-one basis.
Were the farmers French?
Yeah, they were from that area right around that town. It was in Western France.
Yeah, there's been a long history throughout civilization. Basically, pencil neck geeks have used conscripted or paid soldiers and police to extract money that was not earned by the pencil neck geeks from people who do actual manual labor. And I can see why that makes people mad.
Yeah.
That goes back to the Phoenicians and you know, ancient Persia, and after that, Rome. And it really got taken to a high art in Greece and Rome. And, you know, Greece is the cradle of democracy. It's also the cradle of it's where they really codified democracy and made it into a so-called science. And the same thing with tax collecting, especially with coming up with ways to do better math to do it, and having a better enforcement arm. And, you know, if you want to see the end result of it, you know, Greece is one of the most defaultinist countries on earth right now.
That's ironic. That's what you call ironic.
Yeah, it's barely ironic. It is ironic, but it's, you know, irony is a lot of things are called irony that aren't, but irony literally is when the actual meaning is the opposite of the implied meaning, something like that. And really, that doesn't really fit in that case, because, I mean, yeah, you could definitely call that ironic and not be correctable, but it's more like cause and effect. I don't think it's really ironic at all. It's ironic because most people think that democracy and taxes are a good idea. And we think that self-rule and paying your own way are good ideas here on the Freedom Fiends. We're going to talk about that when we get back after this trip to the market where you can buy stuff without a gun to your head. Worms.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains, because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. And, you know, unlike Neil deGrasse Tyson, we make crazy claims on here, but then we fact check them, and if they're wrong, we admit it. Okay, we weren't sure. I couldn't remember. There's so many politicians and thinkers that have murdered people and been murdered over the millennia. It was Socrates that was killed by a vote, an early example of democracy, a guy that shouldn't have been killed and was just asking questions. And this system that he helped invent and participated in and was a fan of, democracy, was used to kill him. It was literally, you know, almost literally a few wolves and a sheep voting on what to have for dinner. Not to call Socrates a sheep, but go ahead there, Ben. And this was in Athens, Greece. It was Greek. Yeah, and they are still surviving today. They're not necessarily voting to kill each other in person in the Senate in Greece. But, they're democracy and a good economy do not go hand in hand, and modern Greece proves that, because they've had democracy and voting on who gets to steal through the government longer than anyone. So go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, this is from Wikipedia. The trial and execution of Socrates took place in 399 BC. Socrates was tried on two charges, corrupting the youth and impiety. More specifically, Socrates' accusers cited two impious acts, failing to acknowledge the gods that the city acknowledges and introducing new deities. Socrates' death was a result of asking philosophical questions. Got a word I can't pronounce there. It's spelled D-I-K-A-S-T-S.
It's dicast. It's the Athenian citizen.
I see.
It's a position.
Okay, so Socrates was ultimately sentenced to death by drinking a hemlock-based liquid. Primary sources for accounts of the trial are given by two of Socrates' friends, Plato and Xenophon. Is that right? Well-known later interpretations included those of the journalist I.F. Stone, no relation, and the classic scholar Robin Waterfield. Who's the smartest among us? He disagrees with what the city acknowledges and introduces new stuff and asks questions. We can't have that.
And the youth paid attention to him asking questions. Yeah. Kind of like Neil deGrasse Tyson, although I think it would be elevating Tyson quite far to compare him to Socrates. But
if Tyson had to be quieted, or if he wasn't around, would we have to wait another 2,500 years for him? Or is that too much of an insider joke?
We're making fun of the fact that a lot of atheists seem to need a god. They seem to spend a lot of their time debunking the idea of a god. Me, I just don't know. I'm somewhere between a deist and an agnostic, and I really believe that being absolutely sure there is no God is as much of a faith-based outlook as being absolutely sure that there's a God. I think that people who are absolutely sure there is no God are being religious in a way, and furthermore, a lot of people who spend their time religiously telling other people that there is absolutely no God and trying to prove it, which isn't provable— a lot of those people seem to make gods of men and gods of rather flawed men. We're going to talk about the Neil deGrasse Tyson gate, in a later segment. But so basically what we've got is a bunch of people around the world who believe in democracy and believe in having leaders, suddenly throwing their leaders into trash cans and spreading manure on their roads and blocking the services of putting out the manure fires on the roads. What's going on, Ben? What's going on in this crazy world with people and their leaders? They suddenly don't like them.
Yeah, it's a love-hate relationship. They fear not having a leader. When their god is taken away, they immediately try to find another great man to be their new god. And at the same time, they want independence. They want freedom. They just don't want to take the path that gets them to that. They want to replace one god with another, or replace one king with another, or one great man with another great man. Or, you know, they want to replace the rulers in London with the rulers in Edinburgh. It makes no sense to me.
They will never take our freedom because we'll formally decline the offer in a democratic election.
That's a meme that's going around. Yeah, it's not very Braveheart to let your vote determine your freedom.
I don't recall...
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hi, this is Michael Dean from The Freedom Fiends Radio Show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
Yeah. So, here on the Freedom Fiends, we're generally pretty mellow. We are generally pretty mellow, but once in a while we will tilt at windmills and end up losing a bunch of fans and gaining a bunch of fans and getting death threats and being slandered and all sorts of things. We don't care. It's weird because a lot of people who do that kind of stuff do it all the time and just have a life of having the world mad at them. But on Freedom Fiends, we generally just kind of talk about the government and how stupid it is. And we're too small fry. The government hasn't noticed yet. Or if they have, they haven't decided to drone us yet or hit us with the heart attack gun. Although Ben had a heart attack a while back. Do you think it was a heart attack gun or do you think you just had a lifestyle that led to a heart attack, Ben?
I definitely did not have a lifestyle that led to a heart attack, but I'm not going to say heart attack gun yet. We're looking at facts. But my cholesterol was perfect. My blood pressure was perfect. My, you know, all that stuff. The only thing that was out of whack was my weight, but I was working on that and bringing it down. But we have to go with evidence, and that's what you're talking about, being committed to evidence and being willing to set aside your opinions, set aside what results you want to see ahead of time, set all that aside and just look at the real evidence. And some people have a real hard time doing that. I would accept in reference to the heart attack, I would accept the evidence in whatever direction that it takes me and set aside my predispositions and my, you know, prejudgments, and I'll go with whatever the facts eventually reveal on it. But not everybody can do that.
Well,
it's really difficult.
Let me interject, too. Evidence is not proof. And when you say to someone, look at the evidence, if it's someone who's not scientifically or skeptically minded in a true way, they often won't even look at evidence.
Right.
You know, and they will conflate that you're saying evidence with proof. And people way overuse the fact proof. Proof is scientific. Proof is replicable, can be replicated.
Right.
If something's scientifically provable, it means you can feed the same variables in every time and get the same result. Proof is pretty hard with opinions on people. It doesn't jive generally. It'd be pretty hard to prove that you were heart attacked by the government, but you're leaving out a key piece of evidence, which is that out of 12 Freedom Fiends co-hosts that there are, you aren't the only one who had a life-threatening heart event in a 2 or 3 month period.
Yeah, that's true. And there's another prominent person, more prominent than any of us in the Liberty sphere of knowledge, that was literally hiking the Alps, had a very active lifestyle going on, and then he, exactly like me, he thought he had a chest cold. He had some difficulty breathing, tried to treat it with over-the-counter chest cold medicine, and ended up almost dying from heart problems with it.
Who's that?
I'm stalling because I can't remember his name. There was a story in the Daily Bell about him just the other day, though.
Yeah, and if anybody out there is keeping score against us and saying, that's two things in one episode where they knew the story but didn't know all the names, there's a lot to know, and we don't have a research staff. Like, most radio shows have a research staff, or at least somebody sitting next to the host who can look things up on at least Wikipedia, which we're going to delve into the veracity of. Wikipedia is a great place to start when searching a new subject, but it's not a great place to end. And a lot of times you end up with what are called edit wars. And you were going to talk about text wars. But talk about text wars for a second in general, and then we'll go to edit wars on Wikipedia, and then we'll go to deGrasse Tyson.
I like to call it text tennis, where two people start out in a conversation of some kind. It can be on a forum, it can be in Facebook, it can be pretty much anywhere on the internet. And you have two people wanting to communicate in normal ways with each other, and so they start talking about something that they disagree on, and the next thing you know, it goes into page after page of ranting and talking past each other and, you know, logical fallacies and, you know, anger, and eventually screaming at each other, name-calling, and the whole time, there is, from the very beginning of it, there is never any chance of one convincing the other of whatever it is that their difference is on. And yet that doesn't keep them from spending sometimes weeks on the same topic, going back to the same site, putting in more accusations and more yelling, and it just goes on and on. There was an example of that is something like, you know, a big topic like abortion. Back when, Michael, when you had suggested that we have an abortion discussion at Porkfest, and they put on the Porkfest website, hey, there's going to be an abortion discussion. And immediately the discussion on Facebook started going on just wave after wave after wave after wave. And anger started to build. Well, nobody on there is going to be convinced because you read something on Facebook that all of a sudden you're going to become pro-life or become pro-choice because of something you read on Facebook. It just doesn't happen. But that doesn't prevent people from doing it anyway.
Yeah, for a long time, I mean, really, I don't have a problem with that. I think it's kind of the early growing pains of the fact that the slaves can all yell at each other now, where it used to be only the slave masters could put something out and have a large amount of people see it. And the internet changed all that to where, you know, basically the slaves can grumble among themselves at each other and occasionally grumble at the slave masters, which is most of what we do on the Freedom Fiends. We generally, well, not really. I mean, a lot of shows in our kind of ilk, in the libertarian, we don't like government at all. The left and the right are both believing in government, and we want to step away from government and not be ruled, and we want to rule ourselves or make our own choices, which is usually the battle cry in some way of both the left and the right. The right say, we want really small government. The left say, those darn Republicans are telling us what to do, and we want to make our own decisions with our bodies. They want to make their own decisions with their own bodies, but they want to make decisions with your money, you know, basically. And both sides are wrong in their own way. Both sides are wrong in their own right. But a lot of what we do on the Fiends, on the Freedom Fiends, the radio show you're listening to, is it's kind of general interest stuff. It's kind of all over the map, some would say, critics would say. But I think it's kind of fun. It's kind of sassy. It's kind of, you know, this is generally less complaining about the government, which kind of feels impotent and ridiculous to me when people just do it all day long. It seems like it's not the point. And a better point is to, you know, well, some would say offer solutions, which is very difficult because it's hard to look into the future and say what would work. And when we say something that would work of how the roads would be built without the government, the pro-government critics on both sides will say that would never work, which is unscientific and kind of like, you know, before the discovery of the fact that germs caused illness, some illnesses, it would be like the naysayers saying, you can't come up with something like penicillin that will cure germs. Germs are caused by inaccurate humors and not worshiping the right gods correctly, you know?
Hey, to interrupt, Michael, the guy I was thinking of is Ron Holland. He used to do commercials on LRN for a while. I don't know if he still does or not.
What guy? I don't know who you're talking about.
Ron Holland?
I don't know what guy you're talking about. I'm arguing with you. I'm having a personal argument with you in front of 10,000 people or 100,000 people. I'm doing on the radio what you just mentioned. I'm having a text beef with you on the radio. I don't know what you're talking about. Let's move on.
He was the guy with the heart problems.
Oh, okay. Thank you. See, that's what you lead with. And this is, you're not supposed to point out your mistakes on radio, but the Freedom Fiends are different because we're also the Liberty Journalism School trying to teach people how to do radio. What Ben did wrong there was he buried the headline. He buried the lead. I didn't know what he's talking about. It's as if we were having a conversation on the telephone, not on radio. Ben said, the guy I was talking about, you should have said, the guy who had the heart attack I was talking about. See? You feel me, brother?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. Thank you.
And it is a teaching hospital.
It is a teaching hospital. Yeah. So where were we?
We were in the Alps with heart problems. No. We were in Scotland or in France where they're burning manure at the tax office. We're everywhere.
There was another one in Europe a bunch of years back. I looked for it and couldn't find it because when you search spreading manure and politicians, a lot of things come up, and it's usually about politicians trying to ban farmers from spreading manure as fertilizer, probably because they're in bed with big chemistry that runs agriculture now.
Actually, that's part of the Tyson controversy is that he seems to be shilling for the giant chemical companies that are the problem in farming, you know, like Monsanto and the others like that.
Yeah.
And there's some kind of an argument about whether, you know, DNA modified crops are good or bad. And he seems to be coming down on the completely corporate side of that argument.
Yeah, and the story I was looking for was something from a couple years ago in, I think it was France or England, where a farmer who'd been, you know, taxed to death and regulated to death and could no longer make a living as a farmer because of his state or county government, loaded up his manure spreader, drove it into town at, you know, 5 miles an hour, and when he got there, blew it onto the second story windows of a row of tax and government offices.
Now that's constructive. That's really thinking things through. I don't know that it's if it accomplishes the deed in the long run or not, but at least he thought it through.
Yeah. Then there was the guy in, was it Vermont, who was he and his family were systematically hassled for decades by the local police. Arrested for things that other people wouldn't be arrested for, was finally arrested for growing pot, I think, which is something a lot of people would be arrested for, but should not be arrested for. And didn't he drive some kind of large vehicle over a row of police cars?
Yeah, I can't remember which. There was one in Colorado and one in Vermont, so I get them confused. But one was like the Vermont one
was driving the tractor over a row of 5 or 6 police cars. The one in Colorado was intense. That guy died doing that. It was the he basically built a tank. He was a welder, and he was, you know, I'll say it, screwed out of his, you know, livelihood by the local government, and built a tank and ran through a bunch of the buildings of the local government, and was either shot by the police or I think he shot himself. It wasn't called a Bearcat. What was it? It's a killdozer. Yeah, he built a killdozer.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges.
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brainworm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Welcome to two old men screeching at each other on the radio. We take what you'd normally hear on the porch of an old folks' home and broadcast it into the safety of your interroom. You know, Thomas Jefferson said, "The problem with the internet is determining the veracity of the content there within." I made that up, and this guy who's criticizing DeGrasse Tyson actually paraphrased it, which is kind of funny because it means that once in a while the silly things I say on the internet that travel around go full circle and come back.
But, and that's part of the problem with Tyson, was that he said things without really realizing that he was saying something that was going to come back to bite him over and over and over.
Yeah. I want to start this with the dictionary definition of the phrase science. Go ahead, Ben. I just pigeon it to you. What is science, Ben? Uncle Ben, it's converted rice. What is science?
Since I just got the one that you had, but I have a different one up, let me read this one first. Science, the intellectual and practical activity encompassing the systematic study of the structure and behavior of the physical and natural world through observation and experiment. That's from Google.
All right. And I'll accept that one. I just won't accept the one from Wikipedia, because a lot of what we're going to go after today is about how Wikipedia can suffer a bias. It's often a left-wing bias, but it's definitely an anti-science bias from people who say they're pro-science and anti-anti-science. So go ahead and read the next one. It's shorter and simpler.
The intellectual and practical activity encompassing the systematic study of the structure and behavior of the physical and natural world through observation and experiment.
Yeah, it's commonly considered to be the opposite of faith. Although I don't think you have to be an atheist to be a scientist. I think I think they can get along. My dad has a really weird way of doing it. He says Adam and Eve were amoebas, but I think that's a joke when he says that. That's how he can be an evolutionist and a theist. But tell me a little bit. You are of a scientific mind, and you are you believe in God, and you're a Quaker. Tell me how that works in your life.
I don't think one negates the other. You know, if there is such a thing as God, and if there is a realm of the spiritual, it is outside of the realm of the observable, and therefore you can't test it, you can't observe it, you can't, you know, it's in a different subset of existence than what we can have any contact with. So you can only theorize about it. It's kind of like saying there may be parallel universes. This is well known within the realm of science that there may be parallel universes. You can't say that there is. You just say it's a possibility. We can't prove that it's not so. And that's kind of the same thing with the realm of the spirit. It's impossible to prove it exists, and it's impossible to prove that it doesn't exist. So is that a way to run your life? Well, maybe not. Maybe you should base your decisions on it. Maybe you shouldn't. That's an individual choice. But as far as like, you know, evolution, creation, that kind of thing, I really don't see why, if there is some kind of an intelligent designer, or even designers in the plural.
Term is going to really...
That's not going to fit well, huh?
Yeah, it is a different term.
but whatever may be there, what is to say that they didn't decide, hey, let's start this off with a big bang, and let's have matter flying in every direction, and let's have energy being expended, and let's have time expand at the same time that matter expands, and let's set the speed of this expansion to this particular speed, and let's drive it by light, and let's say, what's to say that there wasn't something behind all of that? I mean, something had to happen prior to that moment of explosion with the Big Bang. So, you know, you're not necessarily pigeonholed into forcing you to believe something one way or the other if you just keep your mind open.
Really quick, what would you say to people who say that God is just the explanation for things that cannot yet be explained by science?
I would say as long as you're comfortable with that, go with it.
But you believe in God. I believe in God. And I believe in science. And I don't like people who say they believe in science but act completely unscientific and won't look at contrary evidence. And that's going to be the topic of hour two here on the Freedom Fiends, is atheists and skeptics who are religious about their atheism and skepticism to the point of being unskeptical about their skepticism. On hour two of the Freedom Fiends, coming up next.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Freedom Fiends. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I'm talking to Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker podcast. He's one of the fiends. He's a regular fiend. Are you there, Ben? Are you safe?
I am safe. I am here. I have not been contacted by the government worms.
Excellent. I want to open this this hour with a quote from the great philosopher and also flawed philosopher, Jello Biafra of Dead Kennedys, the band Dead Kennedys. These are the lyrics to the song Well-Paid Scientist. You're a well-paid scientist. You only talk in facts. You know you're always right because you know how to prove it step by step. PhD to show you're smart with textbook formulas, but you're used up just like a factory hand. Something is wrong here. You won't find it on a shelf. You're well-paid. You're well-trained. You're tied to a rack. Yeah.
And that's something that you've mentioned before, is the ability to express yourself in a debate or in some other format like that and make yourself sound like you really know what you're talking about and like you're really on track, whether you have the facts with you or not.
Kind of like Jello Biafra, who wrote that song. I mean, that guy, his lyrics when I was 18, you know, 32 years ago, taught me to distrust the government. But that guy wants government. You know, and every accusation he made in his lyrics during the 80s of Ronald Reagan is also true of Barack Obama now. And Jello doesn't like Barack Obama, but not for the same reasons we don't, which is that Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. Jello Biafra doesn't like Barack Obama because he thinks that Barack Obama has not made good on any of his campaign promises. Basically, he thinks Obama hasn't been Obama enough. That's his problem with him.
Well, it's a funny thing with that whole right-left Democrat-Republican way of thinking. It always boils down to my great man can do anything and I still love him, but I hate your great man no matter what he does or doesn't do, even when he does the exact same things as my great man does, I still hate your great man and love mine.
An easier way of saying that, by the way, for those just tuning in, is my great man can beat up your great man.
Yeah.
Explain the great man theory and why you actually coined this phrase, didn't you? The great man theory or the great man fallacy?
Oh, no, that was going back into Herbert Spencer in the 1800s, okay. wrote a whole thing disproving it. But
see, yeah, well, my great man. No, I thought you did. You taught it to me. Let's put it that way. And we will credit Herbert Spencer, who was I don't want to say anyone's a great man because I don't like great men. And that's the problem with the great man theory. The great man theory is that we need a great man to save us, or conversely, that great men ruin, you know, great meaning big, like Hitler being a great man in a negative sense, you know, without him, the world would have been much different and there would have been another one that came along to do that. You know, the positive great man theory is people who love to invoke Reagan without looking at the fact that he wasn't a very good conservative. He was a former liberal, Hollywood liberal, who raised taxes, added gun control laws, got us into endless overseas wars, and ramped up the war on drugs, which is, you know, turning into the war on guns that they kick your door in for.
Yeah. The idea started...
I did not say Hitler was a good guy, for anyone
who
didn't catch all of that. But talk about the great man theory and how there is a, you know, great bad man theory, too, with that.
Sure. In the 1800s, after Napoleon had risen to power and fallen and risen to power and fallen, thinkers needed a way to explain what was happening with the failures of government. So they looked at this and decided, you know what? There are certain men that pop up in history that are either evolutionarily a step ahead of us, or maybe God blesses them more than anybody else, or God has put them there for a reason. According to how the person's philosophical standpoint looked at the evidence, and they said there are certain men who just stand up among society and do these great things.
People
and they are
without whom we'd have to wait 2,500 more years as a society for these great ideas.
Yeah, that's the concept.
And it's bunk.
Right. And they use this to try to explain how in every situation where a man was needed to stand up and do something, there would be a great man there like George Washington or, you know, somebody like that to take that role and drive things through and make it happen the way nobody else could. And the fact is just the opposite. And Herbert Spencer, probably more than anybody else, took this argument and just shredded it and just proved that what happens is there's a market for somebody to do a thing. And if there's a market demand for somebody to do a thing, then you have a massive motivation for somebody to do it. And so somebody will step in, and it's not that the person is special in any way. It's that there's a market demand for it, and so the market supplies it, the market being humanity.
Ron Paul is a really good example, too. People, without him, somebody else or a bunch of other people would have enlightened a bunch of people to the ideas of liberty.
Yeah, there were plenty of other people saying the same thing. Many of them had a national audience. It fell into Ron Paul's lap and he ran with it. But he really didn't even have the philosophy down as solid as some of the others do. It just happened to be that at the time that, you know, there was a presidential election going on and he had money behind him and he had a platform. But it wasn't so much that he was this special man of history, this great man that God has given to us. It wasn't that. It was that there was a serious demand for somebody to say these concepts that Ron Paul was saying. People were upset with the Democrats' failure, and they were upset with the Republicans' failure. And so Ron Paul, like many other voices, was saying the thing that needed to be said. And it wasn't that he was magic. It was that the market was demanding that somebody stand up and say it. And the belief in the great man is this myth that allows people to be fooled that, yeah, okay, things are messed up now, but, you know, as soon as we can get this next great man into that position, if it's, you know, the new Bush from down there in Florida, or if it's Rand Paul, or if we can just get that guy from Texas, Perry, if we can just get him elected, he'll fix these things, you know? And that's belief in a great man. It's a myth, and it's a type of religion.
Yeah, and it's bizarre to me that so many people who believe in logic and don't believe in religion and present that as how they view them, they want the world to view them, seem to need a great man. You know, I went through that all last month with trying to debunk this guy in Liberty that, and I took a lot of heat for it, but I still stand by it. I stand by that guy is innately flawed. There's a lot of contradictions surrounding him. You can go and look at the contradictions about him. You know, edited video, this clip versus that clip. He had those videos censored because it made it too easy to criticize him without going through 10,000 hours of video. And his defenders, he is an atheist, and many of Molyneux's followers are atheists who say they believe in logic and that religion is unlogical, but they have created a religion around a man. And the fact that it's a religion, that it's faith-based, includes being unwilling to the point of like verbal violence to not look at the evidence. I won't even say the facts. I'll just say the evidence. They won't listen to somebody who's known him and hung out with him in his house. They won't look at a video where someone has edited one clip of him to him contradicting himself, you know, an hour later in the same video, but made him 10 seconds apart. So it's easier to view them. They won't look at that kind of thing. And there's a lot of this going on with Neil deGrasse Tyson, who is I would call him a pop science guy. He may have actually had some science training in the back. He has a PhD in astrophysics. Unlike Bill Nye, who I was kind of a fan of. If people don't remember Bill Nye, the science guy, he was a bow tie wearing almost like, you know, cartoon character of a scientist.
But very entertaining.
Entertaining, yeah. He did a show for kids and young people about science and taught little fun facts about science. But he never made stuff up. He wasn't even assigned. He was like reading a script pretty much, right? He was an actor.
Yeah, he was a trained actor, and he did a good job. I liked him.
Yeah, whereas
now he has a bunch of honorary degrees, so now I guess he's a real scientist.
So does Neil deGrasse Tyson, but he has a couple real degrees too. And, you know, he has a PhD, and I don't want to sound like I'm bashing education or anti-intellectualism. I'm absolutely pro-intellectualism. I'm pro-education. But I don't necessarily think that doing it through the systems we have are the best way to do it. And I have a family member who has a PhD who is someone who is from an Ivy League university, one of the same ones that Tyson has a PhD from. And you get into a discussion with this family member, and they don't resort to logic, man. They resort to misquoting figures they saw somewhere, and really it just all ends up at an appeal to emotion. Authority and emotion. Yeah. And the authority is like, well, Barack Obama said it must be true, and you're a bad person, Michael, because you don't love Barack Obama. That's the kind of intellectual discussion that this family member of mine with a PhD will have. To the point where I kind of like it to where, like, they don't talk to me anymore. My family. And this is true, too, with a lot of, you know, you were talking earlier about the text arguments on the Facebooks. You know, I used to have those about 5 years ago, and they were often with people I used to know in real life who don't like the turn I've taken of rejecting liberalism and rejecting even conservatism and reject, you know, and being in favor of, hey, we don't, maybe we don't need rulers. And, you know, people love to argue, no, you need rulers because without them, Neil deGrasse Tyson says you'd be starving in a ditch, that kind of thing. And those people generally just kind of went away and don't bother with me anymore. A footnote I want to put on the Facebook thing is Facebook often changes the way that they do their algorithms of sharing things and having them viewable. And back when I was doing this, they had changed it suddenly, and I didn't know this. But I thought I was arguing with somebody in a private chat, and it was going out to everyone who'd clicked follow on me on Facebook, but they couldn't come in and chat on it. And people were unsubscribing from me because it was like, you know, five posts a minute from myself and someone else arguing. We thought it was private and it was public. It was kind of funny.
Yeah, Facebook is known for changing settings like that without letting you know.
Yeah, and kind of in sleazy ways sometimes too, like with privacy settings.
Yeah,
yeah,
they were doing that. I completely am Facebook free for over a year now, and that's one of the reasons that I did it, because they would just change my privacy settings.
Yay.
You know, from day to day.
Come up and get your Facebook anonymous chip, Ben. I'll be your sponsor.
I'm Ben Stone, and I've been Facebook free for over a year.
I'd be a bad sponsor though, because I've secretly relapsed and have an account on Facebook.
But you sneak in and have a Facebook now and then.
I have a Facebook now and then, but I don't do it much, and I can keep it under control. I'm doing
I can
it
control myself.
I'm doing it socially. I don't have a problem anymore. I've cured myself from Facebook. All right, we'll be back with what's wrong with, not really Neil deGrasse Tyson. That's the small thing. What's wrong with people who say they believe in logic but really worship humans?
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
You've heard of shinybadges.com, but check out the new causes tab. Every item includes a donation to a worthwhile liberty project. Buy the Silk Road pin to contribute to the Ross Ulbricht Legal Defense Fund, or buy the Bitcoin Not Bombs t-shirt to contribute to Hoodie the Homeless 2014. Pick from many more. Go to causes.shinybadges.com and get yourself some quality liberty products that not only start a conversation, but also put your money where your heart is. Plus, get a free gift when you pay with Bitcoin. causes.shinybadges.com.
Yeah. It's the Freedom Fiends poking at untruth. Throwing footballs of truth at your face as hard and fast as we can on the Freedom Fiends.
So whether Ben, you're awake or not.
Whether you're, we'll wake you up. So Ben, talk about this article about Neil deGrasse Tyson on thefederalist.com. And first of all, thefederalist.com is a funny, kind of fun, upbeat blog by a right wing, kind of nerd. Like, and he's, you know, he can write and he's funny, unlike a lot of right wing bloggers. He's funny and he can write. And he, you know, he gives citations when he quotes things. His name's Sean.
When we say
Sean Davis, is his name. His name's
Sean
Davis.
When we say nerd, we mean that in a good way.
Well, yeah, because Neil deGrasse Tyson is a nerd. He's kind of the king of the nerds. And Sean Davis writes for, or perhaps is the entirety of, thefederalist.com. Now, I don't generally like right wingers, but I hate left wingers. I don't hate anybody. I love all of God's creatures. No, but yeah, I have a problem with the title The Federalist. I'll say that right now. Basically, that's saying my favorite founding father was Alexander Hamilton, and he was the worst founding father, man. He was the one that's the biggest part of the reason why the federal government has the vast overreach right now, was Alexander Hamilton. And I guess you can be pure and call yourself a federalist and not be in favor of what's happening now with the federal government, in the idea of federalism was just the idea of basically having a constitution as opposed to having a less intrusive charter, the one that Bill Buport's a huge fan of, the Articles of Confederation.
So this article over at the Federalist really is asking the question, this is in the title, why is Wikipedia deleting all references to Neil Tyson's fabrication? And the discussion is about this scientist, Neil Tyson, who Neil deGrasse Tyson. Anyway, it's about him.
Neely D, the science guy.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
It's about him literally making up quotes that George Bush, quoting George Bush on things that George Bush didn't say. And it's a fairly big thing, too. It's not just like, you know, oh, my shoes are tied. No, they're not untied. It's a big thing for him to quote a U.S. president.
Read the quote that he said. That George Bush said.
I was actually stalling trying to find it because I know it's here in this article. There's only one problem. None of the straw man quotes that Tyson uses to tear them down are real. The quote about the numerically illiterate newspaper headline is fabricated. The quote about a member of Congress who had changed his views 360 degrees, that doesn't exist. That time a U.S. president said, "Our God is the God who named the stars," as a way of dividing Judeo-Christian beliefs and Islamic beliefs, it never happened. So that's the quote. Oh, what did I say?
Judo.
Oh, Judeo-Christian. Those are really mean guys. You don't want to mess with them. No, they'll put you right on the ground. Yeah. But so that's the quote. Our God is the God who named the stars. And he was attributing that to George W. Bush. And that is simply not what Bush said.
Yeah.
And we're not fans of Bush,
oh,
right?
And, you know, the thing is, too, you're really going to make a guy who says he's a scientist is going to make up quotes of George Bush and never correct that he said that. Never say, hey, I was wrong. People are wrong once in a while. You know, you could even say probably like, you know, Marie Curie was wrong once in a while, especially about that it was a good idea to carry radium around in her smock and it eventually killed her. But here's the thing. George Bush has actually said so many ridiculous things. Why would you go make something up when you could just find something actual ridiculous that he said?
Yeah, well, that's the same way with Obama. You know, he has said there's no reason to have some kind of paranoid ideas that maybe he's a secret Muslim. Just look what he's already said. The things that he has, and you don't have to speculate that he might be a socialist. Of course he's a socialist.
Obama's not a secret Muslim.
No.
I'm absolutely sure he's not. He's a secular humanist who wants him to be the God. He wants the government to be the God.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is he doesn't have to be. You can find plenty of things, you know, that are true that you can attack him on without going in that direction.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's our inside joke about his feet stink because, yeah. You know, it's funny.
We don't know that his feet stink. It's actually something my 94-year-old dad said about him, and we ended up making a hip-hop rap song about it. If you want to go on YouTube and search Obama's Feet Stink, you can hear that song. It's not radio-friendly.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Ross Ulbricht was arrested by the FBI in 2013 and charged with victimless crimes in relation to allegedly operating the Bitcoin-based Silk Road black market. He has been in a prison cell awaiting trial ever since. If he did it, he's a hero for making the black market a safer place. If he did not, he's a man wrongfully accused. Either way, if you love freedom and want to end the war on drugs, Ross and his family need your support. You can learn more and help fund his defense at FreeRoss.org. That's FreeRoss.org.
On the Freedom Fiends, we're big fans of good audio at a low price. So I often like to say what audio gear I'm using. This is not an ad. I don't get paid for this. I'm using an interesting mic today. Ben, you're using your Beta 57A, right?
Sure. Correct. I love this mic.
Yeah, I love it too. It's very clear compared to other radio mics that sound warmer, or maybe putting them through a tube amp sounds warmer. That's a very clear, crisp mic. What I'm getting at today is I'm actually using a cheaper mic. I usually use the same mic you're using, the Shure Beta 57A. I'm using a cheaper mic today. I'm actually using the Audio-Technica USB 2005 USB, which is the USB mic that all the other co-hosts on the Freedom Fiends use, the $50 one that if you go to freedomfiends.com, scroll down on the right side and click get the mic that our co-hosts use. I actually do make a couple money on this mic because people buy them on my Amazon link, and I only recommend things that I would use. And I get $1.50 or $2 each time someone orders one without them paying more. Amazon pays me. That's kind of cool. But I'm trying to spread these mics, not because of that, but because I've actually bought like five of these that I've given away, or actually more than that. So I've lost money on them. But I'm trying to improve the sound of Liberty. And it's a great mic that if you get a this mic, a little foam windscreen, and a mic stand, it sounds really good without having any outboard equipment. You just plug it into a computer and use it with headphones on Skype or Audacity or both. But this mic actually also has an XLR output, and I'm plugging it into my mixer and seeing how it sounds. So if I sound better or worse today, I think I sound clearer. And it has a wider pickup pattern, so you don't have to be right up on it, locked to it, which tends to hurt my back because I don't move around as much with like the Beta 57A. So yeah, I'm trying something new. I've never done this. I'm using that USB mic, but not as a USB mic for my mic. And I like it. I think it sounds good. So we're talking about truth and the search for truth and the fact that in this society, in this world, and this kind of horrifies me, truth is not really a virtue. What is a virtue and what disguises itself for truth is presentation, charisma, and rhetorical ability, which is basically the ability to debate. The thing about debate, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad skill to learn, but it can be abused. It's really abused by the guy I was going after all last month. And it's misused by a lot of people who defend people who do things unscientific and call themselves scientists. A lot of their fans, a lot of Neil deGrasse Tyson scientist fans of him are like, yeah, man, science, B, yo, science. And they're people, they don't go to school to learn science. They take liberal arts. They, you know, as the guy from the Federalist says, they probably just round up or use the tip calculator when having restaurant with their friend, a restaurant meal with friends, because they're not good enough at math to do it in their head, which any scientist would absolutely be good enough with math in their head to do. So it's people who are kind of pop science people, you know, fans of the idea of science who don't really practice science and actually do the opposite of science, which is don't listen to all facts. They just take something and latch onto it in a religious fashion, even though a lot of them are atheists. That ain't science. So we're literally dropping mad scientists today. I've been burying the lead. We mentioned it early on in the first hour, but the story here is that Neil deGrasse Tyson, he's an actual scientist in his distant past, but he's kind of a pop scientist on TV. He plays one on TV. And he's really charismatic. He's really fun. He explains things in the way the kids think are cool and they want to have a beer with him, whereas most scientists are actually really boring. But, you know, he has rhetorical ability. And rhetoric, people that can debate, literally, a person who's really good at debating could argue that the sky is green and win in the eyes of most viewers, arguing with a scientist who's saying, no, the sky is blue and here's why. It's because of the refraction of light and the index and the angles and blah, blah, blah. The guy who's a good debater would win saying the sky is green or orange or purple. It can contain those colors. But, you know, basically saying the sky is something it's not. A common thing that people teach in debate class, a common exercise in debate class, is to pick a position you don't believe in and argue in favor of it and win the debate. And it's actually like learning to debate is a good thing. They don't teach it in school anymore, which is why kids who think they like science but don't really understand science don't recognize it when they see it. But Tyson's good at it, and you know, Molyneux's good at it, and a lot of people and a lot of politicians are good at it. You know, the kid that's good looking and is in the debate team can grow up to be a good politician. It doesn't make him a good person. So there have been quotes. Neil deGrasse Tyson has been making up quotes to make his arguments, which is really a bad debate technique. But when he's called on it, he doesn't admit it, and he doesn't clarify it, which would be the scientific thing to do, or just the good thing to do. And his fans will not let his Wikipedia page be argued to show proof that he has a history of doing this, which is kind of sleazy, man. It's kind of sleazy and unscientific, but that's the way that when it's a democracy of access, the people who screech the loudest and the longest often win. And I'm not saying I want to go back to the world where only the people with money and power have control of the media. But like I say, this is growing pains of everybody being able to speak and have the same chance at access. And I think it's a good thing. And I was kind of horrified, like, that so many people like someone like that Molyneux guy, even though he's done so much that's insane and calls himself a logical, rational person. And his fans say, logical, rational, that is our God, logic and rationality. It's very much like deGrasse Tyson. deGrasse Tyson are the left-wing version of the anarcho-capitalist Molyneux worshipers who worship a man who is a good talker, an excellent debater, quick-witted, looks kind of cool, and you know, you want to have a beer with him, kind of like that guy. And they take that as truth and something to aspire to and something to hold up as a mantle to the world and worship, instead of people that might be saying, wait, the emperor has no clothes. So, Ben, will you read one of the many quotes? And we're not defending George Bush, but one of the many things that deGrasse Tyson has just made up and never retracted.
Yeah, so Tyson says, and this is a quote of Tyson, here's what happens. George Bush, within a week of 9/11, gave us a speech attempting to distinguish we from they and who we, and who are they. These were sort of the Muslim fundamentalists, and he wants to distinguish we from they. And how does he do it? He says, our God, of course, it's actually the same God, but that's a detail. Let's hold that minor fact aside for the moment. Allah of the Muslims is the same God as the God of the Old Testament. So, but let's hold that aside. He says, our God, and he's supposedly quoting George Bush here, our God is the God. He loosely quoted Genesis, biblical Genesis. Our God is the God who named the stars. And so he's saying here three things. He's saying that Bush uttered the precise phrase in the days immediately after 9/11, and in order to distance American religion from that practiced by radical Muslims. Now, here's what George Bush actually said, and it wasn't in reference to 9/11. It was in reference to the Columbia space shuttle disaster that took place. And he actually said, in the skies today, we saw destruction and tragedy. Yet farther than we can see, there is comfort and hope. In the words of the prophet Isaiah, lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls each by name, because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. The same creator who names the stars also knows the names of the seven souls we mourn today. The crew of the shuttle Columbia did not return safely to Earth, yet we can pray that all are safely home. So Tyson took words out of a speech that Bush gave in reference to the disaster with the Columbia space shuttle, twisted them around to be some kind of division between Christians and Muslims, and used it to say, oh, this is what happened on 9/11. Well, none of that happened. It's an entire fabrication on the part of Tyson.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting. I realized this while you were reading it. It's kind of interesting to me that the thing he's paraphrasing that Bush said was about a disaster of scientists not being perfect. The Columbia space shuttle disaster was a big black eye, not on science, but on government scientists.
You know? Yeah, NASA.
Yeah.
Which he worked for NASA at one point in time.
Tyson,
sorry about that. The real thing, though, that we're trying to get at is that Wikipedia is deleting these references
There are people who are preventing that. And here's the thing with Wikipedia. It's not necessarily he who yells the loudest. The people that win edit wars on Wikipedia, and anybody can edit Wikipedia, but it'll immediately be changed back. The people that win the edit wars on Wikipedia, they're not necessarily the loudest or the smartest or able to make the best arguments. They are the people who, A, know the rules of Wikipedia. There are definite rules that are stated on Wikipedia of what's encyclopedic and what isn't and what counts for proper attribution. That's one thing, is just knowing the rules of the game. The other thing is having a long history of making valuable edits on Wikipedia. And there are people who feel strongly about a topic and like to be right, you know, and have the world see they're right, who will do things like spend a lot of their free time going around Wikipedia and just improving it in a general way, like correcting typos, fixing broken links, finding other truthful attributions to stress the attribution of things that are factual. So people that do actual good work on Wikipedia are able to get away with things that are not Wikipedian or encyclopedic in any way. And there's people that do that as a strategy. There's a guy on the Stefan Molyneux Wikipedia page who's been in an edit war on there, who literally has, if you look at the talk page of the Stefan Molyneux page, and I've not made edits on this. I'm not in this. I'm not my monkeys, not my circus. But there's a guy named Netoholic, N-E-T-O-H-O-L-I-C, who is a True Believer Molyneux fan, who has been for years preventing anyone from making any, you know, saying anything bad about the great man of Molyneux. So this is a phenomenon on Wikipedia. And Neil deGrasse Tyson has an army of them. Worms, we'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Squisgar Squigelts from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says Worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing. Buttons! Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and we are talking about people who say they love truth, but really just want to yell at each other. And in specific, we're talking about Neil deGrasse Tyson, who has been well documented as making things up. And he considers himself a scientist. It's like there's a lot of people who make stuff up and say things wrong. And but, you know, why do you go after him? Why do you go after Molyneux? I go after Molyneux because he says he's an ethicist, and he actually says he's the most advanced ethicist in our society, who's the only good parent in the world. And he loves truth so much that, you know, without him, we'd have to wait 2,000 more years for that kind of truth bombs. I'm paraphrasing him, but he did say that. So if someone's an ethicist, they call themselves an ethicist and say they're a fan of logic, and they use completely the opposite often, I'm going to call them on it. And the same thing with Neil deGrasse Tyson, and I'm not the first person to call him on this. This is a thing out there. It's an edit war on Wikipedia. There are a lot of examples of this, and I'll link the articles, several of them, in the Federalist, where the guy has enumerated them. Well, there's another one I want to mention really quickly was, and this is just kind of getting a fact or a figure wrong, but doing it over and over and over. Neil deGrasse Tyson likes to tell a story about how he was called for jury duty in a case where a guy was accused of having some cocaine. And the way they listed it was he was charged with, you know, something like 1,200 milligrams of cocaine, which sounds like a lot if you don't know what a milligram is, but it's actually 1.2 grams. deGrasse Tyson pointed that out and apparently, you know, didn't get to serve on the jury, or the judge manhandled him verbally for it or something. And he uses that an example of how science is damned and condemned by people who should know better, like a judge. But the thing is, he changes the amount every time he tells the story. Sometimes it's 1,700 milligrams, sometimes it's 1,200, sometimes it's 2,100. And you'd think that a guy who is telling a story about the importance of science and facts wouldn't change the amount every time. And I'm making up those figures, but if you go read this whole article, there's, you know, you basically have to go look at 10 different videos of him telling the story 10 different times to see how he does it. And there are videos of him doing that.
This brings up a problem with him that we also face with Molyneux, is that there's such a huge body of work out there that in order for you to say, no, really, look, you have to check this out, you have to spend hours going through hour after hour of TED Talk or whatever to get to those 3 minutes where he says that crazy thing.
Yeah. And the thing I was saying earlier about why would you even bother making up something that George Bush said when there's so much he actually said that's ridiculous? Like, George Bush said, they misunderstood me. And he said, there's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, this is when he's speaking in Tennessee, he said, that says, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me, you can't get fooled again. Which is like, he's actually mixing up a bunch of classic rock lyrics there. It's not even public, you know, old sayings. Here's one. Too many good docs are getting out of the business. Too many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their love with women all across the country. That was in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. We're on the air in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. Maybe someone was actually there who's listening to us. He said, I'm going to put people in my place so when the history of this administration is written, at least there's an authoritarian voice saying exactly what happened. He meant authoritative, but yeah, he loved to make spoonerisms, and I don't mean Lysander spoonerisms. I mean the other kind. George Bush just said ridiculous, ridiculous things. There's if you search the word Bushisms on Wikipedia, there's a page of them. There is a bias on Wikipedia. It tends to be a lot of left-wing people. There's probably Barack Obama is not as prevalent at the mouth diarrhea as George Bush, but he said some whoppers, but there's no page of Obama-isms on Wikipedia. It would not be allowed to stand.
One of his classics when the market crashed was he said, I've abandoned free market principles to save the free market.
That's and that wasn't even an accident. That was the way his brain works.
Yeah, he actually said that intentionally. That you can, there you go, right there.
And Bush also coined the term internets. He called the internet the internets, and that's, we use that a lot. That's become a catchphrase for, you know, stupid talk on the internet, calling it the internets. And there's a phrase we like. It was, I believe, George Washington. No, it was Joe Rogan on the show News Radio, who said, you can't take something off the internet. It's like taking pee out of a pool. And that's the final resting point of this whole episode. I think it's just growing pains. I think the internet will figure out what to do with itself in a few years.
Yeah.
When I run it. No, I'm kidding. When I have a kill switch for Wikipedia edits I don't like. No, man, it's not how it works. It's the free market. It's just the growing pains of the free market.
Worms, Michael.
Worms. Thank you, Ben, for your service.